I'm Josh Jackson here with pianist Oren Evans, and also we have a guest with us on the line from Durham, North Carolina, Miss Lenora Helm, professor of music at North Carolina Central University. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Josh. It's been interesting to listen. You have such a rich program tonight. I've been cracking up.
It's live and real.
Oh yeah, it's really real. But I wouldn't expect any less. You have Oren sitting there with you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. You know, people don't really know the story, but for me, you know, as a young guy moving to New York, Lenora was one of the first people to give me a gig and take me on the road per se, and I always will appreciate that. No, seriously, and just as a pianist, being able to accompany a vocalist on a normal basis was important. But what was also important was how you kept me on track, and you kept me awake, you kept me conscious, and. I don't always talk about that, but I was always listening being around you, and I appreciate the things you told me and or whispered, because you weren't always direct with it, but you the things you said, and also as an older sister, I didn't mean to say older. Damn, then you gonna oop with the radio. You
gonna be yeah, mad. I'm gonna get you for that one. Sorry, but, okay, now too much now.
But I know I was getting all emotional. But as a sister, you've always had at my back, and I remember the first time you took me. We went to South Africa in a very interesting time when we had to take that flight crossing mm-hmm. over to 2000. And it's just I've learned a lot from you, and I appreciate you, and thank you for being here. That's the point.
Oh, wow, that means a lot to me. You know, it's funny, I thank you, Oren. And I ran across some pictures from that trip. And it was, yeah, it was just 5 years after kind of like the fall of apartheid. And mm-hmm. there was a lot of raw feelings, and everybody that we talked to, it was a pretty powerful experience.
Would you characterize the times now as something similar, Lenora?
Well, in a different way. It's the same thing. I almost cussed, too. Look at that. The same thing in different clothes, you know. Oppression is centuries old. But what we're experiencing here in the United States, you know, the apartheid model was modeled after the slavery trade and everything that happened here. They modeled their whole expression in South Africa off of the United States model of oppression. And I learned that from traveling there a lot. And my current dissertation is about intercultural competence in global classrooms that study jazz. And boy, I opened up Pandora's box just, you know, spending time in South Africa, finding out what was going on and what were the reasons for the way jazz developed there and how, or black music, I mean, between Mr. Workman and between Nicholas Payton, I can't say jazz, right?
So, you say what you want, but, you earned it.
But you know, my daddy used to talk about the music like black music. He had this way. I grew up in Chicago, South Side. So, you know, he had this way of talking about music of the diaspora, and he didn't put it in little compartments. You know, he would play everything. Mm-hmm. And that's how I learned and appreciated music, you know, to the extent that when I got to college, I had records from all styles of music. And I was ridiculed for that. And I was ridiculed for liking all the different styles of music by friends who didn't understand. But my daddy taught me that it was all of our music. And I don't recall him saying the word jazz in that way. He would just say, well, yeah, this is Nina Simone, or this is Booker T and the MGs.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dave Brubeck. This is Gladys Knight. It didn't quantify or qualify one or the other. He would just say, hey, this is this. And he did the same thing with, like, books. Because I would run home from school and say, oh, man, you know, what I learned at school today, Alexander Graham Bell, blah, 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 blah. And my dad would say, oh, yeah? So he'd pull out this book called Great Negroes, Past and Present. And he'd say, yeah, but did you know about Lewis Latimer? So he never would say race. He wouldn't talk about black historians, inventors, scientists, musicians in a way that was greater or lesser than. He would just present both things. And he would say, oh, well, they omitted this from what you talked about Alexander Graham Bell in school today. So I would run back to my teacher with the book. and I would say, yeah, did you know about Lewis Latimer? To my teacher,
yep.
Her face would turn color. So, you know, a lot of the things in South Africa were not new. Just as the same, the other part of my research is about Denmark, you know, jazz in Denmark. Black music in different places of the world. And there were people from there who didn't know their history, didn't know that there was a deep slave history for Denmark.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yet they welcome Kenny Drew and Dexter Gordon.
Yeah.
And,
definitely.
Horace Parlin.
Yeah. Horace Parlin.
Horace Parlin, right.
Horace Parlin.
Who I had the privilege of having a long conversation with a few months before he died, because I wanted to talk to expats that were in Denmark and their experience of the Danish scene there. Ed Thigpen, too.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Lenora, because I should have asked this also of Ralph, knowing both of you are teaching in institutions. During this time, what are your experience? You know, like even today, I was supposed to do an online piano lesson and I honestly couldn't do it. So, you know, I just didn't feel it. So I had a conversation with the student and we had a great exchange and we talked about music. But as a teacher, you know, even as a father dealing with my sons, during this time, musically, as a music teacher, what are some of the things you're able to do to support the students? And do you even know, you know, I don't even know what to do, honestly. What are you doing?
Well, there are a couple of responses to that whole idea. You know, when they first started talking about, oh, yeah, we have to run online and now everybody has to teach online. I have been doing a lot of work teaching online for at least the last 10 years and have been developing courses and programs and whatsoever that are on my website, lenorahelm.online, because I saw in the work that I was doing with these other countries that on the distance education and that whole online portal affords access to people who don't have means.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was a revolutionary act for me because I would go to these countries. I went to Southeastern Africa as a U.S. jazz ambassador, and I would go to these countries and spend time with young people and musicians, and they were like, wow, I really want to work with you. You know, not many people can afford to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people can afford an education that, you know, and so for me, it's unfair for people to be locked out of access to the education that they wanted or the experience they wanted to develop and be able to play this music. And so I was very intentional on getting online a long time ago so that I could be able to engage with young people. I go to a township in, you know, outside of Johannesburg or out of Pretoria, and then I wanted that student and I would still be able to engage.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, being online wasn't a head trip like for a lot of people it was. The only problem is the latency, that delay that doesn't allow you to perform together. But what I've been doing online with my students is talking about the music, the things that you should be doing anyway.
Exactly. Like what we're going through now.
Yeah. So you have to, it takes us back to the missing elements. We probably, you know, just the silver lining in it all. We probably have gotten so far away in academia from really taking the time to sit with your student and say, what do you hear? Play a record. What do you hear?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think you're hearing right now? Because all of learning how to play this music is learning how to listen and learning how to hear. And we get away from that because we're so busy looking at the books or thinking about the metrics, or you have bean counters telling you how many students you need and how 50 minutes for your lesson. You know, and so this gets us back to like the basics and the foundational elements. So I've been doing that with my students. But when my students, you know, I have a close relationship with a lot of my students. And when they would come and kind of complain to me or tell me about other teachers who were like not engaging them or they didn't enjoy being online with them, it was always because they wouldn't. A lot of folks were doing the best they could, but it's scary to all of a sudden be in this modality that you don't know what to do.
Right.
But it's a human being sitting in front of you.
Right.
You know, so it's vulnerable. We'd be vulnerable. It was difficult. And so it offers an opportunity to grow, for the student to grow and for the teacher to grow. And we don't really teach the music, right? We just guide people through what the steps are. And so I think in some ways it's very beautiful, and in some ways it makes people very vulnerable. But on the other side of this, whenever we get to the other side of this, everyone will be changed, and it was a necessary change.
Hey,
Lenora, I just have one final question, and that is, how do we respond?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Josh, because, you know, when we are looking at what's going to come next, because that's how our brain works. How do we get out of this uncomfortable space? Where is the healing going to come from? And that's going to be inside. That's an inside job. So, you know, like a grandmama would hum all the time. And as a vocalist, you know, the voice is the first instrument. And you always carry that with you. We all have that ability. Hum, singing, hum. Take those hymns, pull them out of your bag, and hum. And center yourself in a place, the sound healing element of humming and singing to get yourself centered, so that you can participate in the day in the way that you have to, that you can breathe, and that you can be available. You know, as musicians, we've been called on to heal everybody, to be the entertainment for everybody through this COVID period. I get that. And yeah, I'm with that. It's okay. I appreciate and I'm grateful, but there's a part of us that are healers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our role. That's our job. And so we get through it and we survive it by using our intuitive selves, you know, calling up the music within us and humming. Even if you don't feel like getting on your instrument and playing, you know, the song can't come out. You can land on your back, stand at the ceiling, because this whole last couple of weeks has been insane, just insane.
Yeah.
To be able to deal with it. So sing you to yourself.
Yeah. Thank you, Lenora.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being invited.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. All right. Peace.
Peace.